Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then we pick up in verse 16 of the same chapter and read till the end of the book and the end of the Old Testament. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his way, upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son and serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, in this world, families are very important. Also in God's plan of salvation, and also in God's church, God often works through family lines to bring covenant children who are, as we have confessed, born in trespasses and sins, to bring them to himself. He often uses the faithful teaching of the parents and blesses that with the work of his powerful Holy Spirit. And Malachi shows that to us. In 2 verse 15, he shows why faithful and godly marriages are so important to God. He says there that he, that is God, might seek a godly seed. Boys and girls, the Lord shows that he desires that you would live for him. He is seeking a godly seed. a godly next generation. Godly boys, godly girls. What does it mean to be godly? Does it mean always good? That you never sin? That we are just good kids and that's it? I think you know the answer, right? There are two things, and we are going to hear about those two things. When God works in our heart, that work of new birth, He gives us grace of faith and repentance. And we are going to hear in who that faith needs to be. In someone who's coming. And Malachi was preaching about that. He was heralding forth someone who is called the messenger of the covenant. And I think you know who that is. And He is going to do a work in the hearts of people, cleanse the hearts of people. And in Malachi's day, they were looking forward to His coming. And in our day, we have Advent, we are looking forward to Christmas. We are looking forward, remembering that first time He came, and looking forward to that second time. And all that we will see from our text this morning. Our text is Malachi 3, 1 through 3, and 4, 5, and 6. Let me now only read Malachi 3, verse 1, where the announcement is made that He is coming. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So our theme is the advent of the covenant mediator. First, who is coming? First question. Second question that we ask, how is he coming? And third question is, what are the effects of his coming? First then, who is coming? For years, we know from the Old Testament, the Jews had been expecting the Messiah to come. Right after the fall, God gave that beautiful promise of salvation through the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And when we read our Bible, we see that after the fall in Adam, that there was no single human being who was, almost no single human being who was saved from the very womb. No, instead what we see is that all came into this world as sinners, whoever they were, and so are we. We are born in sin and trespasses. We come into this world as sinners, unless God has done that miraculous work of grace, as He did with John the Baptist before he was even born. So it's time of Advent in the book of Malachi. It's the last book of the Bible. There you see that the people of God is expecting the Lord Jesus to come. And the need in those days was greater than ever that He would come. If you read the book, you will find six disputes. God and His people are disputing things. And if you read it, what will stand out is their biggest problem really is their sin. But the people, you will also notice, were looking at the circumstances. And they thought, that's the problem. They looked at the temple that was rebuilt in those days, but it was not filled with the glory of God, as happened in the past. They were experiencing difficulties and trials, poverty, drought, famine, challenging circumstances, and that was on their mind more than their sinfulness. And so the Lord comes in Malachi and addresses several problems. When you read it, you read about corrupt leaders, you read about defiled worship, you read about unfaithfulness in family matters, you read about issues with generosity. And how do the people respond when God says, this is the problem in your life? They doubted God's love, they excused their sins, they questioned God's challenges, and sadly, they didn't repent. They did not humble themselves. Now, Our text has, just before our text, we have one of these challenges that actually is part of why we understand what our text in context. So when we just back up one verse, in chapter 2, verse 17, there we read something. The Lord comes with one of his complaints to his people. And the people are saying God is not fair because they see it, they have all these challenges in their lives, and they say the wicked get a free pass and the good are being punished. But the problem was the people those days were blind for their own sins, not really realizing their own sins. And so how does the Lord respond? Just before our text, you've wearied the Lord with your words. We could translate that God says, I'm sick and tired of those words. Then the people respond, wherein have we wearied him? So you see, there's a certain defensiveness. And then we could answer that question with Isaiah, who says this. Isaiah 43:23 says this, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. That is the context of our text. So the situation of God's people was bleak in those days. But God doesn't here show to us that our hope should be in situations or in people. No, it should be in him and what he is doing. Now, how is God going to solve this problem? This problem of sin in the people of Malachi's days. And may I ask, is that your question in your life? Is that one of the dominant questions? And do you therefore rejoice in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has sin ever bothered you? Listen, God has a solution for the problem of sin. It says in our text, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The Lord himself is going to come. Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the Lord who keeps his covenant, he will come and visit his temple, that place of worship, that place where people come together and pray and have their sacrifices, where they serve God, that place where they hoped that his glory would fill the temple again, like in Solomon's day. But it hadn't happened. God is asking his people who were looking for him, because our text says, God is answering rather his people, because our text says, the Lord whom ye seek. They were seeking for him. The people were waiting for the Messiah to come and were requesting him to come. And God says, he will come. The congregation, are we seeking the Lord? Is that how you came this morning to church? Can this be said about us, that he speaks to your soul again, that he comes and visits you personally? Have you come with this longing? And have you come pleading his word, where he tells us his promises, I will come, seek me, and you will find me. God says to this sinful and unfaithful generation in Malachi, he says, I'm going to come. I myself am going to come. God, I will come to my temple. I will fill it with my glory. I will come suddenly. That means quickly, unexpected, without warning. We know it would roughly take another 450 years. We know that Christ then came, born, and he came to his temple, visited his sinful people. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came as the covenant mediator, as the messenger of the covenant, as our text says. And our text also says, in whom ye delight. Is that what you delight in? Is he whom you delight in? As in Malachi's day, they were looking forward. They were pleased with Christ. They had a longing for His coming. And God says to those people, behold, He shall come. It's very certain. It's the Lord of hosts says it. The Lord of the millions and trillions and innumerable amount of angels in heaven. The Lord is going to come. He's the messenger of the covenant. That means He keeps the covenant perfectly. He is the covenant Himself. He carries it out. He shows how we can be truly godly children. Not by doing and trying harder, but by looking and expecting this covenant mediator. And when that covenant mediator is born into our soul through faith and repentance, then we can be truly godly. He is the messenger of the covenant. Children, are you looking forward to Him coming to your life? Or has He come to your life? Do we delight in Him coming to our souls and speaking to our souls? He's going to come personally, first coming, as it were, to souls to restore them and to change them. But He is going to come also on the clouds of heaven one day. Are we ready to meet Him that day? Are we ready? We were reminded of our mortality last Sunday night. Very clearly. It's a message from the Lord for us, for all of us. Be ready. Be ready. Are we meet Him when we would not just faint, but would die? Are things well with us? Now, in Malachi's days, people were looking for justice. They were expecting the Messiah to come. That He would come and that they would be saved and that the enemies would be punished. And that sounded very good into their ears. It was a good plan. They hoped for God. They were looking for the Messiah. But then Malachi, he comes with a question that really shakes them up. God is going to come, yes. And they think, finally, we will be rid of our problems. Finally, we will be truly happy. But God asks this penetrating question also to us this morning. Malachi 3:2. Who may abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appears? Their hopes were high, and they said, we are longing for His glory. And Malachi asks, what if Jesus Christ comes in a different way than we want? What if He comes to purify His church, His people, and through a painful process, do we still say, I'm delighting? What if He comes and judges us, our wickedness, our sins? What if He comes and judges those who are outward in the covenant and have no faith and repentance in your heart? And so that brings us to the next question. How is He coming? Well, Malachi shows us there are two messengers in our text, verse 1. The first messenger and a second messenger. And they were expecting them. But their hopes were on something different, because the key here is to understand they were hopeful for something pleasant, something That leaves their sins untouched, that leaves their hearts unhumbled, that leaves us optimistic about ourselves, so that we can boast we are the people of God, but are not being cleansed That's what is happening in the days of Malachi. Is that happening among us? And that's never been God's plan to do that. When He comes, He humbles us, He cleanses us, He shows us our sin. We can just ignore it. Has he been doing that this week in your life? And that can be very unsettling and very painful. And so He's going to do that through two messengers, I said. The first messenger is, "Behold, I will send my messenger." What is He going to do? "He shall prepare the way before me," in verse 1. And so, behold, last chapters of the Bible are full of that little word, behold. Don't doze off. Pay attention. There's something beautiful here. Something you need to know. What is this first messenger you're going to do? "He shall prepare the way before me." Children, you know that, right? It's John the Baptist. He's going to prepare that way for an important person in those days. The way was prepared. There were messengers sent out, and all the hindrances were cleansed out of the way. The city was prepared. The people knew the king is coming. That's the picture. Just like the president of the U.S. who sends his advance team. The whole area scanned that there's nothing that hinders and that keeps that makes the present unsafe. Now, Malachi is saying to us this morning, there's someone far greater than every king or queen coming. There is someone who is greater than every president. It's the messenger of the covenant. It's the Lord Himself. He's visiting His people. And He is so glorious that He sends someone to prepare the way for Him. And that's why Malachi also says it again in Malachi 4 verse 5. He says it again about John. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day, that awe-inspiring day of the Lord." And so John the Baptist is the one who needs to clear the obstacles all out of the way. And he was an Elijah-like person. Don't you remember, children, that he was fearless, he was a little strange in his clothing, and his words were sharp. What was his message? Do you remember? "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The king is coming. He's going to come. What did he say? We're going to consider that tonight a little more deeply. "Bring forth fruit unto repentance." Don't say, I'm a child of Abraham. That would be saying to us today, don't think, I'm a child of the covenant. For you are a child of the covenant when your life shows it with true repentance. John would baptize people to show how sinful they were. That was something they only used to do to those who were outside of the covenant, to Gentiles. We baptize to show how we need this cleansing of God in our hearts and lives, and how faithful God is to His promises, that He can do what we can do, namely cleanse our hearts. God takes sin seriously, very seriously. And so He introduces John the Baptist already years before He comes. And then after that, the second messenger. Then the messenger of the covenant Himself would come. Jesus, the desire of the people. What is He going to do? Is He going to bolster our self-confidence? Is He going to come to give a good and easy life? Is He going to take all the unpleasantries out of our lives? Is that all the Savior is good for? No. He comes to do two things. Salvation and judgment. So the Jews were right after all, weren't they? What was wrong then? My expectation was selfish. God started to bring his salvation, and it was different than they expected. Have you been there? Perhaps. I thought it would get better with me. But I often seem to see only more sin. I thought I would improve. Life would be easier when I fear the Lord. But that's not what I'm experiencing. It's hard. This messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ is his name. What was he coming to do? That's the question. And Malachi answers that question for us. Just like John the Baptist, how did he come? Same message. From that day, or from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand." So Jesus came also to bring repentance, to turn us from sin to God. He comes to bring ongoing repentance, to purify, to sanctify us. For the first time, or again, he's going to teach us, you and I, when he comes, how desperately we need this true change. He's going to use two pictures to show that to us this morning. Verse 2b, "For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Now, what does that mean, children? Two pictures. You can remember those when you come home and your parents ask you, what did Pastor talk about? Which two pictures? The first one is one of a silversmith. Have you ever seen a silversmith? Maybe not. There are not so many these days anymore. But verse 3a shows here, "For he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." A silversmith. Do you see it, children? There is that silversmith, and he has a pot which we call crucible. And in it, there is the silver, and there's not clean silver. Some dirt is there, too. And then he puts the fire under that pot. And what does he want? He takes that piece of ore or silver or gold, and he puts it in the crucible. And then he sits. He sits patiently. And he heats that silver until what? Until it becomes soft. It was hard. Until it's fluid. And what is his purpose? What is he looking for? Until it's clean. That takes time. That's the purpose of the Lord when he comes to our lives. He comes, first of all, he delivers us from the guilt of sin when he changes us. And then he puts the fire under the pot. And he is going to cleanse us from the power of sin. The power of sin in our lives. And that can be painful. He wants the dross that is there, the dirt, to consume. Because, let's face it, it's either our sin or it is God. Either our sin or it's God. God and sin don't mix in our lives. So, what does he do? He sees what's wrong in our lives, and he looks like that silversmith intently. And he knows exactly what you and I need. Trials, difficulties, sometimes he sends them. Fire of affliction. Why? Well, the hymn writer puts it like this. When Through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie. My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The silversmith, Jesus Christ, does that. And he gives the grace that you and I need to go through that. Is he working like that in your life? That's the first picture, children. Second picture is a bit similar. It speaks there about the fuller's soap. Now, what is a fuller? Someone who was dyeing clothes was a fuller. And he uses a certain type of soap so that the cloth that needs to be prepared to be dyed and to be useful, there's oil on it often, dirt and oil, and then he uses this soap, chemical stuff, he rubs it. What is he doing? Same as the silversmith, cleansing. That's how the Lord Jesus comes to our lives. Do you see those pictures? How they link with baptism this morning? Baptism tells us you need to be clean. These pictures say when Jesus Christ comes to our lives, he will make us clean from the dirt of our sin. First time, long ago. Now, where does he start? Where does he start? Our text tells us, he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. He will start with the leaders. So he will start in the home with fathers. He will start in the church with the church leaders. Office bearers of those days in Malachi's time, you read Malachi, you will see was much. It was not in accordance with God's word. So when God works in our lives, when he sends the Lord Jesus to our lives, what does he do? He begins with leaders, with fathers, with husbands, purifying them. So that then it can spill over into the church or into the family. So that it can spill over also to the wife, to the child, to the congregation. So that's his first work, salvation. Is that what you expect of salvation? But that's not all. He will also come in a different way with a different kind of fire. Malachi's prophecy speaks about this coming of Jesus Christ. And children and young people, you've been, young people especially, you've been studying Jesus on every page. And then we learned about prophecy, that often in prophecy, the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ are collapsed. It's like, it's blurred. Malachi didn't see it all exactly clear. That's what's happening here in our text. The first and the second coming are as it were, all at the same time in Malachi's idea. It's so bad in Malachi's day that he thinks it must be the end of the world when Jesus comes. Listen, 4 verse 1. For behold, there you have the word again, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day shall come that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. You see that, children? This is not a fire. Not the fire of the silversmith. This fire doesn't cleanse. This fire destroys. So when Christ comes, he comes to save his people. He comes to purify them. And he comes to judge the wicked. inside the church, outside the church. It doesn't matter whether you are in or out of the church. If your heart is not pure, you won't see God. That's what the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Malachi 3:5 shows us that God will come as a swift witness against all kinds of sinners. Sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, people who oppress the weak. There will be a day of judgment in which He will come. If we are outside of Christ, and He will judge our hearts, our lives, our words, our actions, our parenting, the choices we made, the entertainment we sought, the pleasures we pursued, the sins we loved. We will see whether we sought His kingdom, yes or no. He will look at our motives, not at our outward appearance. He looks at our hearts. And then there will be a fire. Then there will be a fire. And that day will burn like an oven. It says, children, that is not good. Sinners who don't have this Jesus Christ who comes as a purifying silversmith to our lives, who've never had that in their lives, will burn. Those who are not cleansed by that first fire will be destroyed by that second fire. It's Christmas, almost. A few weeks. It's Advent. We think about Christ coming the first time. But Malachi says, wait a moment, think about that second time too. Live in light of eternity. Who's going to abide when He comes? In baptism, God promises to cleanse us. And from this prophecy, we learn God doesn't take sin lightly. Don't just say, well, I think God is gracious, and then live on in your sin. Don't think, I'm grown up in the church, I'm a covenant member, so all must be well with me. That's not what we should trust in. We can trust in covenant membership and then trifle with sin. Because sinners outside of the Lord Jesus Christ will be burned up. You can just say, well, I guess I'm just a sinner. Just need a little more grace. The question that comes to our lives, is Christ active in our lives? Active as that silversmith. Do you know the purifying power of His coming? Other words, ongoing repentance. Repentance is not just, I accept I'm a sinner. We all are. Repentance is, Christ comes and He teaches us, I'm going to rid you from your sin. I'm going to show it to you. And I'm going to give you all the power you need to kill it. I'm going to empower you to hate it. So that you cry out to me and say, Lord, this is wicked in my heart. It needs to go. So the question comes to all of us, and I'm asking myself, is this happening in our lives? Is this happening in our lives? Because When Christ comes, it has effects in our lives, and that's what we look at thirdly. What are the effects? Well, two messengers. Let's first look at John the Baptist and what happened when he would come, the first messenger. Beautiful. And there we come back to that, to how important families are in God's world. Malachi 4 verse 6a, it says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." This, dear ones, shows the power of true repentance in families. What does it do? We all know that when we don't repent, it drives a wedge in families, it drives a wedge in church, church members among us. Sin breaks marriages and families apart, but now God says, I'm going to use the preaching of John the Baptist, and then it's going to bring restoration, reconciliation in families. It's going to bring joy and peace, loving relationships. Covenant mercy, so that generations are bound together. That young people, you love your parents, you respect your parents. If fathers, you don't abuse your power. But you see in your children that they need grace, and you are faithful in discipline. And there is this loving relationship in which children and parents stand together and love each other and help one another and support one another. That's what's happening when we begin to confess our sin and take our sin seriously. As parents, as fathers, as leaders, as elders, as deacons, as pastors. When we don't hold on to our pride, but we confess our sins, and how short we have fallen. As leaders of this church, we confess it. We need a flood of true repentance. We need revival. We need God to come. And the question to today is He coming to you in that way, that relationships are being restored? That fathers will no longer exasperate their children, but will pray for their children, will stand next to their children, will love their children, will understand that they need my help, parents together. And that children say, I love to submit to authority. Is that happening? Young people, is that happening? Because in God's world, families are the building block of society. And we started with that text that says, I'm seeking a godly seed. And we understand that there are those among us who have wayward children and are broken. We understand that. And we understand that true repentance needs to come from two sides. Now, that is not always the case, but let's pray for that. Let's pray. Let's continue to pray. I know you pray. This is what God does, because John the Baptist was just a messenger. This is what God does through the preaching of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he said about himself, I'm not worthy to untie the shoe of the one who is coming after me. It's God's work. It's Jesus' work. But now let's look at that second messenger, Jesus himself, when he comes. His work is even more glorious. He calls us to faith and repentance. Yes, he does, but let's not mix this up. Our faith and repentance are not going to save us. Did I say that? Yes, I did say that. It's Jesus who saves us. Faith and repentance are means. They're not works. And Jesus, as the mediator of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant, he saves. Now, what was happening? I'm going to give you a little bit more of an insight in what happened in the days of Malachi. The priests, read Malachi, impure, dishonest. The leaders, we would say. We could include the fathers. People like us. But our hope should not be in our leaders, in people. Our hope needs to be in Jesus Christ. And who is he then? He is the one who is that perfect priest, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. That is the precious messenger, mediator of the covenant. And when he comes to us as sinners, and we are saved by his grace, what happens? He loves us. And washes us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. Revelation 1. He makes us kings and priests, pure, just. Is that happening? Ask the question again. Is that happening in our lives? Second thing that was happening in Malachi's life, impure sacrifices, impure worship. Just as our worship is often impure, our thoughts can be somewhere else during worship. Our prayers can be distracted by all kinds of things. Impure worship. Sins can twirl around in your heart, in your mind. Now, who is Christ? Christ is the great sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's a perfect, spotless Lamb, the perfect sacrifice that can stand in our place when we have imperfect and impure worship. That sacrifice was a sweet savor to the Lord. And Malachi lived in a time when there was a temple, and the glory of that temple was not as great as the other temples before him. God had not come with a Shekinah cloud over the temple to show his glory. But now Jesus Christ, he's going to come to this world, and he's going to come to that temple, and he is the glory, he, of the temple. And he is going to purify and fill the temple with his glory, because he is glory. He is the Lord himself, the messenger of the covenant. And that's still the case, even in the life of regeneration, when God makes us alive, he comes to purify, he makes us holy temples, Holy Spirit-filled temples. He lives in us, in our body, in our mind, in our heart, and so he teaches us to be purified, and yes, and to offer up spiritual sacrifices, so that we offer ourselves as a holy sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And how does that work? We are not conformed to the world anymore, no longer, but we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. That is a pure sacrifice. When we give ourselves wholly, entirely to the Lord and say, Lord, I hold nothing back. Take everything about me. A And Malachi lived in a time of broken relationships, and how that applies to our lives in our time. Broken marriages, sexual sin, infidelity. And the Lord shows that when Jesus comes to our lives, we will offer up to the Lord a sacrifice of righteousness, an offering of righteousness. In 3:3, you can read that. He will restore relationships, bring repentance, humility, love, proper boundaries, and all that. Is he doing that in your life? Because that is where the Lord can make us useful in his kingdom. So that it can flow to others, to neighbors, so that mission work is going to happen because of his power streaming, cleansing power streaming through us to others. So what are the effects of Christ when he comes? Revival, purification. And one more. I'm going back for a very short moment to that silversmith. Children, he's eating the fire. And he's looking intently into the pot, into the crucible. What is he looking for? What is he looking for? He's looking for his own face to appear in the silver. So that he sees himself. He's looking for Christ's likeness in us, in you and me. When he heats the fire. And then he will claim and make beautiful jewels out of his people. Malachi 3:17. He claims his people for himself, and he makes beautiful jewels out of them. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. So God's purified people is God's precious people. Is that New Testament? Yes. 1 Peter 4:17. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Are you obeying the gospel of God? Are you ready for his coming? Has he come the first time? Are you ready for his second coming? Is he purifying you? Then you are being made ready. And his coming will not be terrible. But if he's not, then face it. Face it today. He will be a consuming fire forever. That's a warning, that's a call. And the call is turn to Jesus. Say, Lord, in your word it says, I will come to my temple. Come to my life. And be that Prince and Savior exalted on high to give repentance unto thy people. Turn to Jesus. Expect Jesus. Amen.